Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Lead us not into temptation. I always kind of figured that I would be a pastor even from little on. For some reason, that seemed to stick in my head as well as throughout my life. And I can remember sometimes sitting in the services thinking that the pastor was rather dull. And I would look at different parts of liturgy, the hymns, and the like. And it always struck me that when I looked at this petition of the Lord's Prayer, and you say the words, "Lead us not into temptation," you could ask this question. Could you also say it this way? You, Father, lead us not into temptation because you can lead us into temptation? You see, the words by themselves, we sometimes go over rather quickly. And if we will, we tend to pray them rather fast and rather furious and get over with them so that we can go home. Isn't that how we sometimes take church? Well, when we stop to ponder this petition, "Lead us not into temptation," it's an amazing temptation that is profoundly packed with a lot of different things that when you and I stop to consider it, we'd have to stay in church here all day long. We really would. And I would get hungry and you would fall asleep. But lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? Well, first of all, Luther answers it point blank. God tempts no one to sin. You see, God, who is contrary to sin, is holy and pure, and therefore, for a person to say that God led that person into sin or to do something that is wrong would simply be to counteract the correct understanding, according to Scripture, of who God really is. So whenever a person says, "Oh, God let me do it," or "God made me sin," they are actually incorrect. God never sets before you a temptation to sin. I'll give you an example. Let's say you go into a house of a friend and you see on that friend's table $500, five nice, crisp $100 bills. You're there by yourself as the friend has gone into the kitchen to get you something to drink. And you see that $500 sitting there, and here comes the temptation. You know? Now, stop and ponder. Is God saying to you, "Go ahead, take that $500. And the answer would be no, not at all. Now go back a little bit. Does God know that you would be in a situation where the $500 would be on the table in your friend's house and your friend would be going to the kitchen to give you something to drink? The answer is yes, he does. Because he is the Almighty God who knows everything. But what is happening is that you find, if you will, a contest that is going on in the situation. Our sinful nature, Satan himself, and even the world would say, "Hey, the $500 is there. Maybe your friend forgot to pick it up and put it into their pocket. Maybe they want you to have it after all. You know, it's right there. Go ahead, go ahead." And you're saying, "Well, oh my goodness, I need some bills paid, or I'd like to spend it on something, you might say, nice." And the temptation is there, and the hand wants to go out, go out, go out. And I would dare say that if the hand isn't going out, in here, the heart, it is. "You shall not covet your neighbor's $500. Now, in temptation, we would want to sin. And yet God, who knows the situation, is watching over you and saying, "By faith in Christ, you don't take that money." And by faith in Christ, you would see it. That $500 was given to my friend as a blessing from God. So therefore, you, God, who knows all things, don't allow this temptation to come to my life so that I fall into sin. And thus he watches over you. It's an amazing thing when you think of God and what he knows will take place. A lot of times people even blame God for sin in this world based upon the Adam and Eve account. And if you look at the account of Adam and Eve, it's most remarkable, isn't it? God created man, put him upon this world. He gave him the gift of a wife. And then together they were to live in this garden. And he gave them all the trees of the garden to eat from, except which one? Which one? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because he said, in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you shall die. Was that a temptation? Not at all. It was rather he was saying, listen to my word. Listen to my word. Worship me and you will enjoy all the blessings that have come to you. Then enters the tempter. Now I have another question for you. Is Satan equal to God? A lot of times people do that. They have God here, they have Satan here, as if they're two powers that are just as strong in and of themselves against each other. But that's also incorrect. Satan is a creature that is created by God, and therefore, even Satan has to do God's will. Martin Luther says that Satan is God's devil. Now, we look at the story of Adam and Eve and say, well, wait a minute. If he knew this was going to happen, why didn't he get rid of Satan? We don't know. We simply don't know. But we do know that when Satan came, and he's known as the deceiver and the tempter, he came with a beautiful voice. He did not threaten. He did not scare. He came with the most innocent little question. Did God really say? And you know the rest of the story. You know, when Jesus was in the last week upon this world before his crucifixion, Peter had said that he would stay with him until the very, very end. And yet Jesus did something to Peter that is most remarkable too. He said, you know what? You're going to deny me before that rooster crows. And Peter says, no way. No way. No way. And yet he did. Jesus knew. Jesus knew the temptation that would be before Peter and that he would fall. And yet, God tempts no one to sin. And that includes you, and that includes me. But we live in a sinful world, don't we? As a pastor in Broomfield, Colorado, at Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church, one snowy day, a young man, probably in his late 20s, came in. He was dressed in army fatigues, and he was shaking and sniffing immensely. I thought that he was shaking because he was so cold and wet from the snow that was going on. I went and got him a cup of coffee, and after a couple of cups of coffee, he began to quiet down. He no longer shook as hard as he did before. And I was waiting for the words that all pastors expect to get out of a transient. Can I have money? That's what you usually hear. And when this man opened his mouth, he said, can I be sure of my salvation? Well, yeah. Jesus gave his life for you on the cross. Jesus has won for you full and complete forgiveness of your sins. Therefore, you can and you do have a certainty about your salvation. He said, I ran into a preacher downtown Denver that told me that when I told him, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, and therefore I have eternal life, he said, oh no, that's not enough. You have to know the time and the day when you gave your heart to Jesus, or you can't be certain of your salvation. That's why the man was shaking so hard. Because what that preacher had done was to bring that man into despair. We pray in this petition that God would guard us so that we do not fall into despair. And how terrible it is if somebody is uncertain about their salvation in Jesus Christ. How rotten if a preacher were to preach that too. How terrible it is that if somebody takes God's word and twists it and makes you, the hearer, say, I'm not sure of who my Savior is. God, guard us from this and keep us from this type of despair. We live in this world, and therefore we are attacked by the unholy Trinity, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Luther captured it so very well. Please don't lead us into despair, false belief, or other great shame and vice. And unless God keeps us on that perfect path of knowing who we are by faith in Christ, we simply would fall off this path by ourselves. You see, the gift of faith is just that. It's a gift of faith that is given to you. By the fact that Christ has given his life for you, you have forgiveness of sins. You have the ability and power to resist temptation. But if you're like me, how often I fall into sin and say, oh my goodness, if God really wanted to right now, he could kill me. He could kill me because of my sin. Therefore, when God causes the temptation to go away, or if he allows it to attack us in such a way that we cannot and we do not resist it, then he brings us back to who forgives us all the time. Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's amazing, isn't it? In Jesus Christ, you are completely forgiven of all your sins. In Jesus Christ, you are baptized into his holy and precious name. In Jesus Christ, every single day is a brand new day for you. The sins of yesterday are gone. They're never, ever brought with you into this day. In holy baptism, you are a new creation, a new creature, every single day. And that's marvelous. That's marvelous. Because that's who you are. That's who you are. In Jesus Christ, your Savior. So when we live in faith in Christ, we can overcome the unholy Trinity, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature that love to attack us. And you will be attacked. But by faith in Christ, you will overcome them. You will overcome them each and every day, but also in that great and glorious day when you stand with Christ in heaven. And your enemies, Christ's enemies, are all defeated. God the Father gets all the credit for this because he has given his Son that teaches you to pray and lead us not into temptation. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds to faith in Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.